It was great. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Angela.
Thank you. Be sure to join us next week on Outsources, when Karen Rayforth will be interviewing Angelica Ross, founder and CEO of Trans Tech Social Enterprises and one of the stars of the upcoming trans-themed web-based TV series, Her Story.
It is a minute after 7 o'clock here on a balmy Monday evening, Labor Day evening, here at KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, in Netherlands at 93.7 FM, and streaming live online everywhere at kgnu.org. It's time now for the Opera Box. And a pleasant good evening. Welcome to the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. And tonight, I've got an anthropomorphized playlist featuring operatic animals, characters that are sometimes humorous, satirical, and often sympathetic, like this woodbird from Wagner's Siegfried. A zoo of wonderful representations by Maurice Ravel, Hans Werner Henze, and Leos Janacek. Dr. Doolittle isn't the only one who understands animals, so join me for tonight's Opera Box.
Thank you.
Siegfried slew a dragon in the forest and got a taste of dragon's blood, which magically gives him and us the ability to understand the singing of the birds. And a little woodbird tells Siegfried where he can find the beautiful sleeping Brunhilde. Siegfried runs off in anticipation. The end of Act Two of Siegfried, the third opera in Wagner's massive series, The Nibelung's Ring. And we heard soprano Joan Sutherland as the woodbird and Helden tenor Wolfgang Wingassen as Siegfried. Georg Scholte conducted the Vienna Philharmonic, which brings us up to about 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock on the Opera Box here on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of operatic fauna. Composers have used the orchestra to mimic animal sounds and characteristics. Think of Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, or The Carnival of the Animals by Camille Saint-Saëns. In opera, composers can put words in their mouths to satirical, humorous, and even poignant effect. And one opera that is full of wildlife is Ravel's L'Enfant et les Sortilèges, The Child and the Magic Spells. Now, Ravel's opera from 1925 is based on the libretto by the famous French author Colette. She's famous for her novel Gigi, among other things. Well, the story of this opera really reminds me of Maurice Sendak's Where the Wild Things Are. A naughty little boy, which is sung by the soprano, is scolded by his mother and sent to his room until supper. He throws a tantrum, smashing things, tearing wallpaper, ripping his books, and so on. Well, the things in his room become alive, and they resentfully admonish his behavior, so that by the evening, the boy's head is spinning. Well, in the part we're going to hear, a cat crawls out from under a chair and spits at him, and is joined by another cat in a howling duet. And then suddenly, the walls and the ceiling disappear, and the boy finds himself in the moonlit garden. And we can hear the thrumming of frogs and insects. When the boy leans against a tree, the tree, which is sung by the bass, groans loudly, complaining of the wounds in his bark caused by the boy when he carved him there. Then a dragonfly, sung by the mezzo-soprano, demands that the boy return its companion, which the boy had netted earlier. And a bat, sung by soprano, flies around, accusing the boy of killing its mother with a stick. A squirrel, another soprano, appears, complaining of being put in a cage. Then a frog, sung by the tenor, reminds the boy that he used flies to trick and catch him. Well, all the animals reproach the boy, crowding around him till he falls down. When all the animals see his fear and remorse, they feel sorry for him. They help him get to his feet and walk into the house where he sees his mother and calls to her. L'Enfant et les Sortilèges, The Child and the Magic Spells, opera by Ravel.
que j'ai prise, percée d'une épingle contre le mur. Regarde-moi, m'accompagne la chauve-souris. Tu sais, je sais, le bâton, la poursuite et la foire, la victoire et la petite bête là, mort à tes pieds.
Grâce,
le déplat, le petit, sans leur mère, il faut.
Qu'est-ce que ça?
La prison. La prison. Le fer qui pique entre des barreaux. J'ai pu fuir, mais tes quatre petites mains mouillées ne valent pas les miennes.
Que dis-tu? Je ne connais pas la cacacage. Je connais la mouche qu'on me jette, bloc. Et le chiffon rouge, bloc. Là-bas vient. Je bondis, on me prend. Je m'échappe, je reviens, bloc.
Sans cervelle, tu auras mon sort. La cage, c'était pour mieux voir ta prestesse.
The animals in the garden get revenge on a naughty little boy from Ravel's L'Enfant et les Sortilèges, The Child and the Magic Spell. In this recording, we heard soprano Françoise Augias as the little boy, Jane Barbier and Camille Morin as the cats, Heinz Refus, the bass, as the tree, Janine Collard, mezzo-soprano, as the dragonfly, Jane Barbier again, soprano, as the squirrel, Michel Seneschal, tenor, as the frog. Lauren Mazel conducted the orchestra and chorus of the French National Radio. It's 28 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock on a Labor Day Monday evening here at the Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a playlist of operatic wildlife. And this next one is very wild. The Young Lord by avant-garde composer Hans Werner Henze. Now, by the mid-20th century, opera composers were in a quandary. Compositional techniques had become so advanced in the decades previously that it was difficult for composers to find new and original styles to make their name around. So one alternative, in addition to the musical style, was the use of radical subject matter. Well, the German composer Hans Werner Henze was a radical in his music and his politics. As a boy, his parents enrolled him in the Hitler Youth. Then after the war, he was a staunch communist, which was very unpopular in Germany after the war. So Henze lived most of his adult life in Italy. His 1965 opera, The Young Lord, focuses on hypocrisy and social status in high society. A wealthy English gentleman and scientist, Sir Edgar, moves to a small German town, complete with an entourage of servants and animals. Everyone competes to be the first to meet him, but he refuses all invitations. And strange noises are heard coming from his mansion at night. One day, the people learn that Sir Edgar's nephew, the young Lord Barat, has arrived. And Sir Edgar announces there will be a gala ball to introduce Lord Barat to society. Well, the town's women are eager for their daughters to meet and impress this young lord. At the ball, the handsome Lord Barat is different, awkward. But the young people soon begin to imitate his actions. In this final scene we're going to hear, Lord Barat, sung by the tenor, is dancing with the beautiful Louisa, sung by the soprano. She's the ward of the local baroness. Some adults are critical of Barat's behavior, and they chalk it up to uncouth youth. He makes strange remarks, like, all courtesy is based on bald lies, and he answers, you don't say, to whatever anyone says to him. As they dance, Lord Barat suddenly becomes more and more frenzied, whirling and whirling so violently that Louisa flies off his arm, collapsing on the floor. He then jumps from table to table when suddenly Sir Edgar appears, cracking a whip. Sullenly, Barat removes his gloves, his top hat, his spectacles, and his coat. And as he pulls off a toupee and mask, everyone is horrified to see he is an ape. The Young Lord by Hans Werner Henze. Thank you.
sie steht ihm vorzüglich. Natürlich vorzüglich dünkt mich, dünkt uns alle. Jugend kennt keine Tugend. Sein geistiger Mutwille, es sind seine körperlichen Zufälle.
Ich darf mir ein Urteil bilden, seine Lordschaft hat gelehrt, mit uns gesprochen, so manches Mal.
Wie hat er wohl seine Gedichte gelesen?
Ach, der Ragus zum Winter.
Hat er die freie Meinung?
Er widerspricht aber mit tiefen und seltenen Verstand.
Oh, der ist der Ruhe, der
gemacht werden.
The handsome and eligible bachelor, young Lord Barat, is revealed to be an ape. The conclusion of Der Junge Lord, The Young Lord, music of Hans Werner Henze. In this recording, we heard Lauren Driscoll as the tenor, Edith Matisse soprano as Louisa, and Christoph von Dohnányi conducted the orchestra and chorus of the German Opera Berlin. That's Lauren Driscoll was the young lord. Well, it's about 19 minutes, 18 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock here on the Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of operatic animals. And our last example is from the delightful and poignant Adventures of Sharp Ears, also known as The Cunning Little Vixen, of the Czech composer Leoš Janáček. Janáček's 1924 opera about the fox Sharp Ears was based on a graphic novelette. The story has everything: humor, satire, sex, and poignancy. Janáček's unique mixture of terse Czech folk rhythms, speech rhythms, and romantic melodies is a highlight of this opera. Sharp Ears, sung by the soprano, is caught in the woods and taken from her mother by the kind forest gamekeeper, who's sung by the bass. And in this scene, the gamekeeper's wife, the contralto, complains about him bringing animals home. They always have fleas. The children taunt and tease and poke at the sad young fox. She moans and cries, but the family dachshund, also sung by contralto, tells her to stop complaining. He gets spanked for howling, but he's so lonely for a mate, he can't help it. And Sharp Ears becomes sympathetic to him, and so the dachshund tries to get fresh with her. She snaps at him and runs to a different corner of the courtyard. That night, Sharp Ears dreams she's a human girl. And this beautiful orchestral passage, which is music very much like Richard Strauss or Puccini, it's performed as a ballet during the opera. In the morning, Sharp Ears wakes up hungry and notices the chicken coop in the yard. She approaches the coop, and the chickens, all sung by sopranos, begin to get nervous. The rooster warns the hens to stay back, but Sharp Ears tells the hens that the rooster only cares about satisfying his hunger and lust, and she urges the hens to abolish the old order and create a more fair, equal system. The rooster tries to warn the hens that the fox only wants to eat all of them. Well, Sharp Ears crawls away and appears to be politically disillusioned, digging a hole for herself in the rubbish heap. She becomes very still, and the chickens think she might be dead. They get up a courage to come out and investigate, and Sharp Ears springs to life, grabbing the rooster and throttling him to death, and then killing the hens one by one. Out comes the gamekeeper running with a stick, but Sharp Ears escapes and runs into the forest. From the first act of The Adventures of Sharp Ears, or The Cunning Little Vixen, music of Leoš Janáček.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so Sharp Ears the Fox, the cunning little vixen of the title, has killed all the chickens and has escaped from the courtyard from The Adventures of Sharp Ears, the opera of Lajos Janáček. And in this recording, we heard Zdeněk Krupa, the bass, as the gamekeeper, Jaroslava Pročaskova, contralto, as his wife, Helena Tatarmushova, soprano, as the vixen, Lubuzia Marova, contralto, as the dachshund, Eva Hlobilova, soprano, as the rooster, with Bohumil Gregor conducting the chorus and orchestra of the Prague National Theater. And that's all the time we have now for Operatic Fauna here at KGNU. This is your host, Ron Nadel. I want to thank you for joining me this evening. Stay tuned. James Weiss is here, and he's going to be your host for a Classic Monday. It's a minute after 8 o'clock here on KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, live online at kgnu.org.
The International Socialist Organization and Haymarket Books held its Socialism 2015 conference in Chicago during the Grateful Dead reunion this past July. Many KGNU listeners skipped the Socialism conference and tuned in to the Dead shows instead. So this Tuesday on Hemispheres, we learn a little bit about Marxism, Socialism, and Democracy. Tuesday at 6 on KGNU's Hemispheres.
Good evening. It is time now for a Classic Monday. We'll be playing some great classical music for the next 2 hours until 10 p.m. and The Present Edge. I just pulled through my collection today and just pulled out any number of pretty famous pieces and pretty famous composers, varying from the great classics of Beethoven and Mozart to slightly lesser names. And I'll open up with, if you've never... If you're not that much into classical, or you very much are, tonight would be a good night to listen in, because I'm just going to play great symphonic, mostly symphonic works, at least pieces thereof. Starting from the second half of Camille Saint-Saëns' Symphony No. 3, the so-called Organ Symphony, you're going to want to check the bass levels on this one, but turn up the volume, it's an incredible piece.